I'd like to begin in the 9th chapter of the book of John. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The story of a man that was born blind. I remember those anxious moments. The birth of a child. Can't wait to see the child. And I remember the prayers that you pray in the months leading up to that time. Lord, would you bless that they have all of their appendages and everything works like it should. And you realize just a little bit more the miracle that is life. The miracle that God brings together in that moment. That's beyond the work of man that David said, when I look at the work of your hands and the handiwork in the sky, and I think, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And he recognized that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. But I remember those moments and taking inventory of all the toes and the fingers and making sure everything was there and seemed to be working all right. There were some parents that no doubt had some of those same feelings. And as their child was born and began to realize over the course maybe of the next days or weeks, this child doesn't seem to be seeing anything. You know, I'm sure there was something within those parents, Lord. Oh Lord, why? Why with our son? Why is he born blind? He can't see. And no doubt looking out as we tend to do and thinking of what life far ahead is going to be. Trying to solve the problems of tomorrow today. Lord, what is this going to mean for his life? Lord, is this fair? I'd like to consider this morning, by the help of the Lord, the unfairness of life. You know, it's a concept that we're very attuned to from a very young age. That's not fair. They got more than me. Look at that, and I can claim no exception to that from my childhood. I was raised with 3 siblings. And I remember looking at the size of their bowl of ice cream and the size of mine, looking at the things that they received and comparing it to the things that I received. I hate to admit it, but I remember on more than one occasion getting out the kitchen scale. We're going to make sure this is fair. We're going to make sure that you don't get a single ounce more than a sense of fairness. A sense of equity, a sense of wanting to make sure that everything is equitable and fair and just, and everything that's coming to me comes to me. That you don't get more than what I get, and that it's all a level playing field, so to speak. A sense of things being fair, a desire from a very young age. I want things in life to be fair. What's one of the earliest lessons, though, that you learn in life? Or that perhaps your parents told you as well? Well, life isn't fair. Life's not always fair. And if we have that expectation throughout our lives of what I consider to be fair, or what I, looking out over my life, would deem to be the best course coming to me, the best path of my life, or what's equitable to me versus those that are around me, we're going to be set up for failure and disappointment in our lives. A thing about this man, the desire, no doubt, of his parents, as every parent, I want my child to have the fairest chance of life. I want them to be able to enjoy the things of life that all the other children enjoy. And no doubt the pain that the parents felt. Why? Why is my son not able to see? Lord, surely you made the seeing eye. Surely, Lord, you were able to take care of this. I didn't warn the family that I might speak on this, so I trust it's all right. But I remember one of those occasions, the birth of one of our children, the doctor coming into the room saying something is possibly seriously wrong. And I remember the feeling of dread, of horror, of what does this mean? Why? I'm trying to process all of that and take that in and try to understand. And I don't know about you, but mine can get to working. Now, this isn't the way I would have chosen it. Lord, why? Why? Lord, why are you choosing this path? And I remember a call that I got from a brother who reminded me of this very story that we just read. The Lord has a plan for our lives. The Lord has a just and an equitable plan for our lives. And it may not be what we would look upon and say, this looks best. This is fair. But you notice what he told the disciples here. This wasn't accidental. And just to close the loop on that story, brethren came and anointed and prayed for the child, and the Lord has done what I consider a miraculous work in answer to those prayers. Folks, we can trust in the Lord. We can put our lives in the Lord's hands, knowing that the Lord has a plan for our lives, and His plan, whatever it might be, is best for us. The disciples, in looking at this case, their natural course of thinking was that they must have done something to earn this. They weren't the only ones that thought this. You remember the story of Job and of his so-called comforters that came, and they were determined that, Job, you must have sinned. You must have done something awfully bad here for God to give this lot to you in life. For God to look and determine that this is what's coming to you. You surely must have earned that. You see, it's the way many times that our minds process. The way they look at things. Is this fair or is it not? Surely in the minds of Job's comforters, surely this wouldn't be fair. It surely wouldn't be fair to give a just and a righteous man this lot in life. You must have earned it. You must have this coming to you. In order for me to be able to balance it out in my mind of what I think is fair, of my sense of fairness and of what's just and equitable. And so the men, the disciples here, and looking at this case and knowing that this man had been blind all of his life. Lord, we want to learn something here. We're with the Son of God. Lord, you know all things. We've heard the answers and the understanding that you've given us. Lord, maybe we've pondered things like this before. You know, there are some tough questions in life. You know, there are some things that are hard for us to understand sometimes. Lord, why? Lord, why did you do this? Lord, why did you work in this way? There are things that I'll say I can't give you the answers. that I don't have all the answers of the Lord's workings. But what I do know is that He's just. And He's a loving God. And His ways are right. But as they had their opportunity to ask their questions, the Lord didn't cut them off, even really strongly chastise them. Lord, who sinned here? Lord, who's at fault? Who brought this on him? And he said, that's not it. That's not the way that I look at this. This thing was done so that the work of God might be shown, that it might be manifested in this child's life, in this man's life, so far many years before. I've been working in this man's life. I knew the time that would bring him to this moment. I knew the age that he would be, and I knew that he would be in this place where Jesus, the Son of God, was crossing that way. And I have a plan that I want to work, and I have my glory that I want to be able to show in this life. Don't look at it in your sense of what's fair. Don't look at it in your sense of what's equitable or what's right. There is one whose ways are higher than your ways, whose thoughts are above your thoughts. His ways are beyond our finding out, beyond our understanding. He doesn't give account to us of His ways. He doesn't have to answer to us of what I think is fair or what's not. I can't say unto Him, God, get out the scales. I want to see who has more here. Lord, I want to try to balance this thing out in my life and understand, because I want what I perceive to be fairness in my life. That's not what the Lord had in mind here. He saw things differently. His ways are so much higher than ours. And He, looking far, far beyond what we could ever see, seeing the greater, broader tapestry of our lives, says, this is how I want to bring it all together. In the end, it will be fair. In the end, you'll be able to say, as the song, I don't know that I can find it. When I get to the end of the way, there are so many hills to climb upward. I often am longing for rest, but He who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. I know in His word He hath promised that my strength it shall be as my day, and the toils of the road will seem nothing. When I get to the end of the way, and the toils of the road will seem nothing, when I get to the end of the way. There's another song that says, I don't remember which song it was at the moment, right was the pathway leading to this. I believe that every one of us, if we'll abide true and faithful to the Lord, will be able to say, when I get to the end of life's way, right was the pathway leading to this. Oh Lord, there was so much that I didn't understand. There were so many things that I questioned, that I struggled with, that I wasn't able to wrap my mind around. But further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand more. Whenever I'm able to look back, and I realize just how much I didn't understand at the time, just how much I wasn't able to see, but I realized then, Lord, it was Your strong arms that carried me. I believe in the end we'll be able to say without question, Lord, right was the pathway leading to this. So the man here, after so many years, was able to see the works of God manifested in his case. I'd like to look at Psalm 73.73rd chapter of Psalms. It's a psalm that's ascribed unto Asaph. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Lord, I look on all of this. I'm surrounded by all of these things. And I look at the wickedness. Lord, I'm making a decision here every day of my life. Which way am I going to take? And Lord, I choose your way. But I see others who don't. Lord, there's a reason why I choose your way, because I believe that it's right. Lord, I believe that it's the right way. I believe that there's reward for the just, and then there's punishment for the wicked. And Lord, it's the best way to live. But there are times whenever I stop and I look around here, and Lord, I see that there are no bands in their death. They're defying you. They're challenging you to your face. Lord, they're calling good evil and evil good, and they're going about their ways. And it seems like, Lord, what would be fair here? Lord, what would be fair is for you to just go ahead and immediately strike them. Lord, immediately mete out your judgment or your justice here. Immediately. Lord, my feet have well nigh slipped whenever I looked on this, and I looked at the disciplines that I'm putting on myself, the way that I'm trying to live, and the enemy will be sure to point out the hardships of my life. And then I look, and it can seem like, by the way that I look at life, they have it easy. It seems like there's nothing holding them back. Lord, they can defy you. They can go on their own way. They can invent their own religion, and they can try to put you around their life however they live. And then, Lord, it seems like you just let them go right on. And it seems like they're even blessed in their lives with the abundance of things that they have and all of that. And he said, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. This sense of equity can be very strong. This sense of unfairness. There's a song heard sung, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, and some, but all through the blood. Some have different pathways appointed in their life, different trials. There are some, thinking of one sister that's been bedfast for years, in pain, suffering. Lord, why? Lord, I don't understand these kind of things. I look at the pathway that you've appointed to some people, and Lord, I just can't seem to balance it all out in my mind. And then I see the prosperity of others who are not living for you. Lord, it seems like surely if someone's trying to live for you, Lord, surely you'll tend to weight the scales a little more their way and in favor of a little bit easier in life and those kind of things. But we have to be careful of the way that our minds think, of the way that our minds process. The Lord does not dwell in time alone. He looks beyond that. He looks beyond what we're able to see. And he said, Lord, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. It's a good place to go. For every one of us to have a place, yes, that we can come together, but a place as well in our private time with the Lord. Whenever life seems to get too heavy for me, Whenever it seems to be too painful and things that I just can no longer bear and carry, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't see it. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling weighed down. Lord, I don't know why you're allowing this. Lord, I don't know why you haven't answered prayer yet. Folks, there's a place that we can go. There's a place in the sanctuary of the Lord that I can go and the Lord can refresh my vision, my way of thinking. He can restore me and help me to be able to see, as Asaph said, then I understood. The Lord was able to help me to understand therein more clearly. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Another scripture says, though hand join in hand, though the wicked should be united together, should purpose, should be determined that they're going to go on their way, and although it may look like they're succeeding, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. That is the law of sowing and reaping. And as Asaph was struggling and looking at the things that he was looking at here, he had to have his vision restored. He had to have his mind renewed. Do you ever have to come to the Lord sometime for a renewing of your mind? Lord, I need something here. Lord, I believe. I do believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, I've got some questions here. I don't understand. I'm so thankful that we can bring our questions to the Lord. But bring them to the Lord. Bring them to Him. Cast them at His feet and bring them to Him. Even John the Baptist, who the Lord used as the forerunner of Christ, whenever he was in prison, he himself had some questions. Lord, are you He that comes, or is there another? Lord, I want to stand on this. I'm willing, but Lord, I've got some battle going on here. I've got some things that I'm struggling with. Lord, would you affirm my faith? Would you help me and strengthen me here? And that's just what the Lord did. He went and said, oh, go tell him that the lame walk and the blind eyes are open and all these things in accordance to prophecy. Go and reaffirm him in the faith. And that's what they were able to do. And he was able to stand on that until the end. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and the 43rd verse beginning. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The Lord who causes his air to be available for those who are using it to curse him, who causes the sun to come out and shine on those who think he doesn't exist, on those who would defy him to his very face, and yet, because he is not willing that any should perish, extends time a little longer and tries to give opportunity, not willing that any should perish. He sends the rain and the sun on the just and on the unjust. You know, it says something to me about our God and about his ways. The disciples came to a place where they weren't welcome into the city. They were rejected, and their response, Lord, here's your chance. We'll stand back here, Lord. Do you want us to call down fire out of heaven? Lord, do you want us to go ahead and just, Lord, go ahead and strike them right here. Let's go ahead and mete out a fair share of what's coming. Lord, a fair share of what's equitable here to them who would reject you, Lord. Let's just go ahead and take care of it. To the laborers out in the field whenever there was the chaff growing with the wheat. Lord, do you want us to go ahead and go separate all of this out? Lord, do you want us to go ahead? No, not yet. Leave that to me. Vengeance is mine, the scripture says. I will repay. In the end, it is for the Lord. The Lord's ways are right and they are just. And it's not for us to try to short circuit God's plan. For us to try to set the table straight or what we think is to make things more equitable in our lives. Oh, how many people today are trying to do just that. It's not fair, my station in life. It's not fair. Do you know, spoke a little bit last week about an occasion to stumble. Do you know Lazarus who sat at the rich man's gate? Do you think he didn't have an occasion to stumble? Do you think he didn't have opportunity for a root of bitterness to begin growing inside? Lord, why? Lord, this isn't fair. Lord, didn't you create us both? Lord, don't you love me just like you love that man up there on the hill? Lord, why am I sitting here in poverty? Man has tried, and I dare say every time failed, to set things equitable throughout a society, throughout a nation, to try to take from those who have and give it to those who have not. We're going to set the tables right here. You know what the Lord's looking for? The Lord's not looking for us to try to short circuit His workings and His plans. I don't believe that means that I have to just be determined that I'm always going to sit in poverty and I'm not going to go try to learn a trade or a skill or try to better myself. I don't believe that's what that means. But what I do believe it means is the Lord wants to be able to entrust in us that will trust Him, that will not murmur, that will not covet against those that it seems has more than us in our lot of life. You know, the Lord wants to be able to entrust us with the lot of life that He's called us to. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2 and 19, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Who wants to do that? It even says wrongfully. There's nothing fair in that. There was nothing fair in the trial that Jesus went, a sham trial. There was nothing fair and true justice in what was done there. If you endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Want us to notice there in the 21st verse, even hereunto were ye called. What has the Lord called us unto? You know, the Lord wants to entrust us with what He's called us to. The Lord wants to be able to entrust us. I'm thinking of a scripture that said, "Art thou talking unto the servants or unto the slaves? Are you in bondage? If you have opportunity or occasion to be free, use that rather. But let every man abide in the same calling whereunto he is called." Abide there with God. Whatever the place is in our life, it's not advocating the abuse of our fellow man. It's not advocating a system where I can lord over somebody else. That's not what the Word of God is. It's not, the ways of the Lord aren't even so much about, in our minds, making everything fair and level. It wasn't about unto the Jews, "This is not fair that the Romans are lording over you, God's people. We're going to make this right. We're going to overthrow the Romans." That's what they were looking for. We want things to be set right. Lord, if we are your people, we belong on the top. Lord, if we are your people, we should be the ones reigning. We should be the ones ruling. That's not what Christ came to do. He didn't come to set things at fairness in our minds. But He came in whatever place we're in, whatever station of life God calls us to give us grace in that station of life, to give us the grace of God to be able to glorify Him right in that condition. Are you called in slavery or servitude? The grace of God will meet you there. Are you called being abused by your neighbors, your coworkers, your boss? The grace of God will meet you there. The grace of God, you just humble yourself. Submit yourself unto God. Leave the fairness to God. Leave the trying to level out the playing field to God. Let Him work that. God is the one that repayeth. You just glorify God. In the place that He's called me unto, I want the Lord to be able to trust me there. Those who are called, or those who God blesses with financial prosperity. You know there's a responsibility that comes with that. There's a responsibility that comes with that. The things the Lord's put in my hands, that I use it to the glory of God. That I be rich in good works, willing to distribute and communicate. There's a responsibility that comes with that. The Lord wants, if He gives me a means, and we question was asked this morning, what does it mean to be rich? What does it mean to be wealthy? Well, that's maybe a whole other subject we could get into, but whatever our place is in life, you compare it to the other standards and places of the world, they'd look at every one of us and say, you're pretty wealthy. What am I doing with what God's given me? If the Lord has given me of means, the Lord wants to trust me with that. That I won't consider myself to be above my brother and all of those things. The poor could look on that and say, you've got a responsibility here. You've got a responsibility. Don't you know what the Bible says about caring for those who have less and about distributing to those that are in need? You've got a responsibility here. But instead, what the Lord wants our focus to be. Lord, if I'm in a place where I'm like Lazarus at the rich man's gate, it's not for me to try to break down the doors, and I'm not going to be content and I'm not going to be quiet until you give me half of what you have. That's not what the Lord has called us unto. But instead, the Lord wants those He's called to prosperity to be trusted with their riches. He's called those that He has not blessed in that way to be able to be entrusted with their poverty. Because do you know there's a responsibility that comes with that, just like there is a responsibility that comes with prosperity. A responsibility that I guard my heart against covetousness, against jealousy and envy, against wishing evil against my brother, against always being discontent and wanting to try to restore things to an equitable state and all those things. Commit it to the Lord. Trust in the Lord and He'll bring it to pass. The Lord knows the way that I take. If I'll just submit myself and humble myself under the mighty hand of God, in due season, the Lord will mete out what's fair. You remember the parable of the man who was out looking for laborers in his vineyard. And he went out early in the morning and he contracted with them. If you'll come out and you'll work for me all day, I'll give you a penny. And they acknowledged and they agreed and said, we'll do that. And so they went out and they worked all day. He went out at noontime and he called some more. And he said the same thing. If you'll come and work for me all day, I'll give you a penny. He went out again in the evening time and he found some more. If you'll come and work for me, I'll give you a penny. And so they agreed, every group of them, agreed to what the wages they had been committed. And they went and they labored throughout the day. And when it came to payday, whenever it came for time for the passing out of wages, there wasn't with some a gratitude to say, thank you. That's what I agreed to. That's what you agreed. Thank you for paying. What about them? What about my brother over here? Didn't you see me out in the early part of the day and I was sweating and hot, and here I've been working and toiling the heat of the day, and this fellow over here comes in at closing time, and you're going to pay him the same thing? Lord, help us as humankind, because I believe that it's a danger or a temptation that could beset any of us. Lord, help us in our station of life. There is a purpose to that parable. The Lord gives equitably eternal life and salvation unto all those that will come unto Him. To all those that will come and pay the price, thank God for it. Why would I want to begrudge my brother? Lord, thank you for giving me what you've given me. Lord, you are my reasonable service. And you're not going to ask anything that's unreasonable of me. Oh, Lord, help us. That we not do unwisely comparing ourselves among ourselves, looking at one another in life and considering their lot of life and then looking at my lot of life and wondering and questioning. Remember what Peter asked the Lord? Whenever he had been questioned himself, Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Lord, you know I love you. It was in that setting that he was being questioned, talking with the Lord, and he felt a need to pause and say, Lord, what about this man? What does that have to do with it? Peter, I'm talking to you here, but I want to know, what about this man? What are you going to require of him? What's his lot in life going to be? Lord, what is that unto thee? Peter, what is that unto? Just follow me. Just follow me for the path in life that I have prescribed for you. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord knows what's best for us. Had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. If the Lord were to say, Clint, choose things out the way you see best. In your life, whenever you think you need sickness, then you determine when you want to be sick. Whenever you determine that you need things to be a little bit tight financially, then you just go ahead and make things tight financially. Oh, Lord, Lord, what a mess I'd make of my life. What a mess, and no doubt I'd be comparable. Well, I want what they have. Lord, I want their place in life. Oh, how much better it is to be able to say, Lord, your ways are right. Lord, you know best in my life. The Lord knows what for every one of us will give us the very best chance of heaven. The Lord knows what things to bring in our life that will work the most to our advantage. Oh, what blessings we could miss out on if we try to short circuit the plan of God. If we try to exempt or work around what the Lord would like to be able to do for every one of us. The Lord's ways are right. The Lord wants to be able to entrust us with a lot of life that He's called us to. Therein abide with the Lord. What the Lord has called us unto, Lord, would you show your glory in this? Lord, would you help me to be able to submit to what your plan and your purpose and your working is. Lord, help me to learn like Paul, in whatsoever state I am, to be content. Lord, help me to know what it means. Help me to be able to live that in whatever state, in whatever condition, in whatever lot of life you call me to. Folks, I know sometimes when the trial gets long, whenever you're dealing with maybe a prolonged trial or battle or affliction and you've been in it for a while and you've been fighting the battle and you've been praying and you've been seeking the Lord and you've been begging the Lord and you've been fasting and you've been praying and the saints have been praying and Lord, why? Lord, why? Lord, why are you not answering? Lord, why are you? Lord, why this? Lord, why this long? I believe the Lord understands our tendency to question. I believe the Lord, surely the Lord knows that I don't have any of the answers. That I don't know how to find my own way. Lord, I can't walk a step without you holding my hand. I don't believe the Lord will fault us for coming to Him with an honest and sincere question. But the Lord wants us to be able to look unto Him, to trust in Him. Paul wrote unto Timothy and all of us, don't be ashamed of me, the prisoner of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me. You know, the world would look on that and they'd say that's failure, what Jesus just went through. That's a shame. It's one of the most shameful things to happen to the vilest of criminals hanging up. It's loss. It's defeat. That's the man that you're going to follow. Don't be ashamed of the cross of Jesus Christ for our lives. Lord, help us not to be ashamed of the cross of Christ. Paul said, Timothy, don't be ashamed of this. Don't be ashamed of what I'm going through. Don't be ashamed whenever maybe the world around you would say a prosperity gospel. If you follow the Lord, you're just going to have an easy lot in life and the Lord will bless you like the comforters of Job thought. Timothy, there's something so much more here. And I believe Paul was really getting a hold of that. He said, the things that have happened to me here have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Oh, thank the Lord. Folks, can the Lord trust us to be a vessel in His hands? The Lord had to be able to trust Paul. Lord, I'm an apostle here. Lord, I'm supposed to be out here working for You. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Here I am behind bars here, restricted in what I'm able to do. Lord, surely maybe You missed it here. Lord, I don't understand it, and we can chafe and we can wonder and we can irritate under it, and yet we can also come and say, Lord, cause this to fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, help me to learn in whatsoever state I am to be content with that. Oh Lord, if You'd see fit to release me, I'd be so thankful. But Lord, if not, help me to truly be content with whatever You call me unto, because the Lord wants to trust us. If we're free, the Lord wants to trust us with being free. If we live in a free nation, the Lord wants to trust us with the freedoms that we have, that we make the most of those things. For those that don't live and enjoy the pleasures that we have, He wants to be able to entrust them with what they have in life. And it's not for me to be like Peter, Lord, what about them? Lord, what about this person? Lord, why can't I have it like them? But instead to say, Lord, have Your way in my life. Lord, work Your works and glorify Your name and Your cause. As the saying is mentioned, life isn't always fair. By the way that we look at things, there will be plenty of times that we look on and say, it just doesn't seem fair. But if we'll commit it unto the hands of a just and a loving God, folks, I can say with confidence and assurance, every one of us at the end of the way, living faithful to the Lord, will look back and say, Lord, it was right. Lord, it was perfect. I couldn't have done it better. Lord, You worked it perfectly. Joseph couldn't see it at the time. Joseph, oh, about finished here. Joseph with his brothers, how much occasion to stumble did he have? How much opportunity did he have? Lord, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Lord, I am the one who's been trying to serve You. I am the one that's been trying to live for You, been trying to follow the commandments and Your law, and here I am. Look where it got me. Look where I am here. It isn't right. It isn't fair. And chafe under that to the point that God can't even use us. The Lord wants us to be a vessel prepared and meet for His use, available, prepared for His use, as Joseph was, as he committed himself unto the Lord, committed his way unto the Lord. Then not only he, but his brethren around him were able to say, that was right. The Lord used this all the way through, but how limited and restricted we are to be able to see today what today is really all about. To be able to see today what tomorrow really means. But I'm thankful that we can commit ourselves into God's hands. And He surely, His ways are best. He surely will bring us through with His faithfulness. David said in one place, Lord, surely in Your faithfulness Thou hast afflicted me. It'll be faithful. Whatever God's dealings in my life, it will be right and it'll be faithful. But Lord, help me to submit to it, to trust in Him throughout it. You pray for me. Amen.